Jesus, and I'm going through.
Amen. Started with Jesus. Don't stop. Just keep going, marching on, regardless, irrespective, no matter what. Just keep marching doggedly on in the pathway of duty. God has watched over us, protected us, and brought us this morning to this particular place for a particular reason, that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to encourage each and every one who's present. Take the time to study your Bible for yourself. You're going to stand before judgment, or should I say, we are going to stand at the final judgment based upon Revelation chapter 20 and give an accounting of our deeds done on planet Earth. Don't make decisions that you are not sure about as to whether or not it's pleasing unto God. Jesus makes the statement to his apostles. Did you bring your Bibles? You bring your Bibles. Do you know how to find different passages in your Bible? If I say Acts 2:38, you know how to do. You know where to go. Did you bring your Bibles over here? You don't mind holding your Bible up? Don't be ashamed. Look like I see a globetrotter sitting on this tire too. God bless. If you brought your Bibles over here, you brought your Bibles. Wait a minute. Hold, do that again if you don't mind. Okay. Now, I would like to recommend that you get a Bible that has some paper. You know, not that telephone that you do some everything with. Over here, did you bring your Bibles? A plus. Here? Wait a minute. Whoa. Do it again over here. All right. We'll give you an A over here, not an A plus. And that's being generous. Brought your Bibles. A plus. Praise the Lord. Everyone should have a Bible. And if you can't afford one, let us know after we dismiss and we'll see that you get a Bible. Did you bring your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, would you hold them up, please? Okay. Yeah, looking good. All right, we'll give you an A over here. You're doing well. Over here. You brought your Bibles. Okay. They're not too heavy to hold up. I know it's 66 books. I know it gets kind of heavy. All right, we'll give you an A over here. Hold up your Bibles so the rest of the folk will see them, please. A plus. Because you all knew that beforehand, didn't you? Praise the Lord. Please, it's a serious matter. We're going to live over yonder much, much, much longer than we live here. Please understand who you are. Human beings created by God like nothing else. To be like him. The only thing that we read about that God created to communicate with him is the humans. Male and female. That's the way he created it. We are going to live somewhere forever. Think about it now. When we go back to the book of Genesis and read it carefully, it affirms the fact that we're going to live forever. You say, well, what about when people die? That's called separation. Death, separation. God put it together and gave us some information regarding that in Genesis chapter 2. He tells us it's in Genesis chapter 1 that he created people, but he gives us a bit more information in chapter 2. So we are going to exist somewhere forever. Don't take living on the planet for granted. Don't just do what you want to do. This is God's creation. This is God's planet. We are God's people, and God created us for him. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the fact that he adopted us. Us who? Those who live according to his word. And if we don't study his word, how are we going to know what to do? We can't guess what God wants us to do. That's why he gave us this book called the Bible. We want to make sure, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. You want to make sure that God is well pleased with how you're living your life. Not your neighbor, not your best friend. You want to make sure that God is pleased with the life that you're living. And you can't second guess God. You must study his word. And he shares that information with us. Trusting God. Your Bible in the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read a few verses from there. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, starting with verse 1, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus, and I beseech Sychest, that they may be of the same mind. Did you get that? Same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. Most of the time, rejoice in the Lord all times, always. And again I say, in case you didn't hear me before, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Do what? Let your requests be made known unto God. Trusting God. Trusting God. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. When you wait on the Lord in prayer, you're not wasting your time. You are investing your time. God is preparing both you, and God is preparing your circumstances so that his plan and his purposes for your life can be and will be accomplished. Listen carefully. Accomplish when the right time arrives for us to act by faith and fail not. God loves us dearly. In the book of Nehemiah, you can dash over there. Chapter 1. Nehemiah hears about the travail of fellow Jews in Jerusalem. They had been taken away to a foreign land. Nehemiah decided, when he heard a report, when he got a report, that the city, the sacred city to the Jews, was in turmoil. Ramshacked. It broke his heart. He began to pray and cry at the same time regarding that situation. And he was a servant to the king. And one of the rules in serving the king is never go into his presence with a sad face. Because of the news that he heard from three of his brothers that had recently come from Jerusalem, Nehemiah was terribly upset. Very, very sad. And he was the cupbearer. And he carried on this particular day after the news. With a sad face. The king noticed that Nehemiah had come into his presence. But Nehemiah had favor. He didn't know how much with that king. And the king asked him, "Why are you so discomforted?" He shared with the king the sad news that he had received. Philippians chapter 4. But you restart reading with Philippians chapter 1. The turmoil. Of his home city. Because of Nehemiah's record. Because of his service, the king had compassion upon Nehemiah and asked him, what could he do? Nehemiah explained that he wanted to go back and help his countrymen. He was saddened by what had transpired. Because of the life that Nehemiah had lived before in the presence of that king, he granted his request. What do you need? I need permission to get some lumber from your forest. I need permission to go back for a season to my hometown. God touched the heart. Church, we need to realize whose we are. God hears the prayers of the righteous. Irrespective of what we might doubt or what we might think, God hears the prayers of the righteous. He answers the prayers of the righteous His way. And His way is always the best way. Our responsibility is to stay in a live a life that God is well pleased with, so that we might always be in a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. Nehemiah had lived that life before that king. He received his request and more. Even had some bodyguards to go with him and some men to help him. When he go back to his hometown, why are you going back? I've heard of the tragedies. I've heard that the sacred city, Jerusalem, is lying in waste. He was brokenhearted. The king gave him permission to leave. He took his journey with his entourage. And when he arrived in Jerusalem, Nehemiah did not let it be known to anyone. He wanted to do some reconnaissance work first. And as he walked through that city, he saw the ruin. He saw the sad condition. He even traveled sometimes by night because Jerusalem was a large metropolis. And he didn't broadcast what he was doing or why he was there. But he surveyed the territory. And then after he had surveyed the territory and got it all the way he wanted it to be, he called a meeting with the men of the city, shared with them who he was, how it had transpired that he was back there in Jerusalem, and the privilege that the king had granted him not only to leave, but to acquire whatever equipment he needed. To rescue that city. Nehemiah, when he called the meeting, he shared it only with the Jews that they might help in rebuilding the sacred city of God. Sanballat and Tobiah, two crooks, enemies of the Jews. They got wind of him being in town, wind of him having a meeting, and they wanted to join with him. Not so. Not so. He knew their reputation, and he knew their reason wanting to be a part of his entourage. He knew that they meant him no good. And if you were so concerned about the city of Jerusalem, why had you not done something before now? Sanballat, Tobiah, and later on they got Geshem. So there were three adversaries that they had to deal with. And they asked Nehemiah to let them work with him. Nehemiah says, not so. We will take care of this. We will do this. Church, that's our attitude. That is the attitude of the children of God. We will do this work that God has assigned our hands to do. He's brought us this far. He has brought us this far. He has manifested his love for what we are doing. He has manifested his love for the way that we are working together and the way that we are doing things. We can't stop now. Stopping is not an option. Call upon God, blessed with this glorious opportunity, to rise up, teach, preach. preach, practice His word, live the life, and build a monument to His glory. Nehemiah, he had the faith not only to challenge himself, but to challenge others as well. When he arrived, as I said heretofore, in Jerusalem, he didn't broadcast the fact that he had arrived. He did his surveillance secretly. That was when he called the meeting after he had seen what has been done. Challenging, of course. He focused not on the challenge, but on the gift and the glory of having God on his side and on their side. He prayed. Are we praying? I believe we are. Are we encouraging one another? I believe we are. Have we compassed this mountain long enough? I think we have. Nehemiah knew who he was and who was helping him. Do we know who we are? Do we know that we are sons and daughters of God? Do we know that we are the children of God, doing the will of God and the work of God? It's his business. It's his church. We are simply happy and so excited about being in his family in a place like this at this time. Nehemiah knew who he was. Church, what's your goal this morning, preacher? My goal this morning is simply to help us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. To know who we are in Christ Jesus. We are not in this. We did not just now become sons and daughters of God. That happened a long time ago. That happened before we ever saw 3201 Sandy Lane. For many of us, I dare say most of us, we know that what others might find impossible, we say by the grace of God, it can be done. Somebody says one man in God is a majority. That's not altogether right. Why? You got any ideas of why that's not altogether correct? One man in God is a majority? God is a majority all by himself. So, God and one man, that's a crowd. God's already a majority. All we need to do is be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Someone has defined leadership as the art of getting people to do what they ought to do because they want to do it. That sounds good to me. So that's why I put it down. As the art of getting people to do what they ought to do because they want to do it. Amen. At this here church, the Church of Christ at 3201 Sandy Lane, that's us. We want to do kingdom business. We have and we are continuing to rally around God's calling. But beware. Beware. Just as soon as God's people step out by faith to do His will, there will always be somewhere, somebody, an enemy shows up. That's what happened with Jeremiah. Went to Jerusalem to help rebuild the city. And as soon as he called and did searching around the city of Jerusalem to know what needed to be done, and then called a meeting with those who were faithful to God, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem shows up. Beware, just as soon as God's people step out by faith to do His will, there will always be a naysayer who shows up in an effort to discourage. There will always be some Sanballats and Tobias in every generation. Nehemiah describes the different weapons the enemies used and uses, and how the Lord enabled them to overcome their problem. Look at read chapters 4 and 3. Through 7 in the book of Nehemiah. But the enemy started off. You know how the enemy started off? Criticizing. Trying to find some fault somewhere. Just about everyone who has ever accomplished anything has faced ridicule. You remember Jesus? Perfect man, lived his life in accord with his Father. But even he was mocked while he was hanging on a cross. On the day of Pentecost, some of the Jews in the crowd said that the Christians were drunk. That's in your Bible in Acts chapter 2 and verse 13. God has everything always under his control. Nehemiah, he might have debated with the three enemy leaders, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, to convince them that their position was false, but he didn't do that. That was not his way of operating. That approach would have only given them an audience to discourage. Wherever the Christians are working diligently for the Lord, there will always be a naysayer somewhere, in the fold or out of the fold. Nehemiah made three things clear. Rebuilding was God's work. Servants as we are, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem will have no part in what we are doing and what we are getting ready to do. And they did. Not everyone in Jerusalem was happy. Not everyone in Jerusalem agreed with their leader. Jews. Not Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Some of the Jews. Some of them even cooperated with Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, and aided their challenge upon what Nehemiah had come to do. Let us continue to be the kind of leaders, the kind of workers, the kind of saints that God wants us to be. He can do it through us. He can do it through us. Continue to be. Continue to be like our older brother. Who is our older brother that I'm referring to? Geshem? No, not those fellows. Jesus Christ is our Savior. But He is also our older brother. We are the children of God. He's the adopted. He is the only begotten Son of God. We are the adopted children of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58. Brethren, my beloved brethren, be you what? Steadfast. Be you what? Unmovable. Be you what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you what? Know that your what? Labor is what? Oh, you don't hear me tonight. I mean this morning. I'm not that. No. I haven't preached that long. Church, sons and daughters of God, no matter where you live, what your address is, know without doubt who you are, whose you are, and who you can always count on and depend upon. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Walk, walk, walk with the Lord. The time has come, past time. Know who you are, know whose you are, and know why you are. Therefore, no turning back. No turning back. No quitting. Ready to every good work. Let us, church, just keep holding to God's unchanging hand and marching doggedly on in the pathway of duty. For those of you who stayed awake and paid attention, I thank you for your time and I thank you for your attention. And for those of you who did, on your mark, get set, let's go. Come what may. Come what may. That was Nehemiah when he went to the king. Come what may. I'm ready to go. Lost souls. You remember what Jesus said when he rose from the grave, meeting with his apostles? Go ye therefore. Do what? Teach all nations. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Now, we can't decide to have our own church, name our own church. It's Jesus who died for the church. It's His church. How are you going to get some, why are you giving it somebody else's name that didn't die for it? How are you practicing things that Jesus doesn't authorize in His book to us? How are we going to come into the body of Christ, baptized for the remission of our sins, and then become slothful? Is independable a word? Undependable? Somebody you can't depend on? We are family members. All of us who have been added to the body, we are sons and daughters of God, just like Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus obeys His Father. That's our responsibility as well. Come what may. There's no place in the Bible where the Bible shares with us that Jesus argued with His Father about, why don't you send some of the angels instead of sending me? Let them do it. That was not His attitude. Our attitude must be the same attitude that Jesus manifested. Jesus knows what his Father loves. We know what Jesus loves. So us just, is that a good phrase? Let's just do what Jesus did. Obeyed his Father. Come what may. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. Why are you talking this way this morning, Brother Brian? Because it's time to move on. The time is past for us to move on. People are dying. Lost. No matter what the Bible says, and they don't take time to read the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4 is still in the Bible. Isn't it still in the Bible? How many is one? Do you know how many is one? Do you know? One is less than two and more than none. That's one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus told his apostles when he rose from the grave, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, whatsoever I have commanded. So we're going to preach and establish something that God hasn't, that he hasn't commanded, and say, take this. This is the way I want it. You didn't die for it. You're not the God's adopted son. I mean, you're not God's only begotten son. His begotten son, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Richard, you talk like you upset us. No. Church, let's be what God wants us to be. He sent his son down here to live for 33 years. At the age of 30. At the age of 30, he was qualified from the earthly rules and regulations to give his life. Because he was a man at the age of 30. But he stayed three more years. Three more years on planet Earth just for us. We need to continue to be zealous, loving one another because we love him, and living the life because we love one another and love him. And sharing with others as opportunity presents itself. Because we love one another and we love him and we love our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, as well. Now, for those of you awake, on your mark, get set. Can we say it together? Go! 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 The time has come. I like the way this look. I like the way this look. But I want to say that about the rest of God's house. You through? No. You going to stop? Yes. Great church. Great church. Thank God for you. Amen. The love that's manifested for God and the love that's manifested one to another. Wonderful. But church, let's make sure that God is well pleased with our steadfastness and make sure that he understands by your actions that you want to live with him forever. You know, hippies, we used to play a game called hopscotch. You know, you're supposed to hop and then skip over one. No. Today is the Lord's Day. And we have worship at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. And we have worship at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. Don't you make decisions that takes you away from the communion and the fellowship with our Heavenly Father in worship. Let us be example. That we're worshipers of God all the time. We love God just as much in the evening as we do in the morning, unless we're otherwise hindered. Are you all following me this morning? You want to make heaven your home. Because eternity is too long and hell is too hot to miss being with the Father. And if you're not sure, ask some questions. You've got mature brothers and sisters. You've got elders. You've got deacons. You've got other leaders in this congregation. You have some questions. And bring your Bible with you. Bring your Bible with you. And bring a smile with your question. See. Now, don't try to figure out what's going on all in my mind, because I don't know. I'm just letting the Lord lead me and take my chances with dealing with His people. But this is the house of love, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
God so loved us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So much so that nobody made Him volunteer His Son. It was His love that caused Him to volunteer His Son. We can get along with one another. We can work together with one another. And we'll help with one another. And when some shows up, some don't show up, that's not encouraging. God bless. Where are you tonight? I mean this morning. Are you a member of the body of Christ? Does your Bible... Are you in the Lord's church? The one that you read about in the Bible? Jesus told His apostles to go and preach My word. And He says, preach whatsoever I have commanded. Whatsoever I have commanded. And it's My church. So if it's His church, He decides everything regarding His church. How you get in it and how you're to live after you get in it. He told the apostles, now y'all go and preach. But He told them first, before that, don't go anywhere. Acts chapter 1. Go to Jerusalem. I'm leaving now. Go to Jerusalem. My Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit in just a few days. And it's going to guide you into all truth. Bring everything to your remembrance. I want you to tell it like I want it told. Like I want it told. Because it's going to be My church. Are you there? How do I become a member of the Lord's church? You hear His word as it's recorded. Number two, you believe it. You have faith in His word as it is recorded. You're godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. The word is called repentance. You acknowledge your faith. You acknowledge the fact that I love Jesus and I'm sorry about the life that I've lived heretofore. And I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And then you're buried in water baptism. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then when you do that, you see, you can't join the Lord's church. You can't join the Lord's church. You must obey His instruction. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. And the Bible says He will add you to His church. Amen. Are you there? The lesson is yours. My 20 minutes is up. May God bless you. If you're here, you're already in the body, but you've lived a life that's contrary to the will, that the promise that you made to God, that you would keep His word and live according to His will, but you have not done that, you come. Right? We don't have to baptize you again. You're already in the family. Acknowledge the fact that you have sinned and ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you. You come. Whoever you are, make your calling and election sure as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Come from the loathsome way of sin, hide you in the blood of Jesus.